Imagine what it must feel like to have teeth forming inside your mouth and literally bursting out of your gums. That's only one of the many things babies deal with in the first few months of their lives. How can parents help their kids through the painful process of teething? And what's really going on inside those tiny mouths? I'm Dr. Tara Zanfleet, and this is Parent Savers, Episode 48, talking all about teething.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm John Ariel, and as your host, I'm here to have conversations about subjects that parents of young kids care about. On Parent Savers, we engage with experts in the field, as well as parent panelists in studio who are just like you, but we do have room for you to participate as well. So give us a tweet, call our hotline, leave a comment on our Facebook page, vote in a poll, send us an email, do whatever it takes to help get your questions answered so you can be a part of the show as well. In addition to listening, make sure to visit the Parent Savers website, too, for more information about our topics. While you're there, sign up for our free newsletter. And don't forget, we have a Parent Savers Club where you can download the archived episodes and get exclusive content and more. So make sure to go to www.parentsavers.com for more information on all that. So before we get into the show, let's I'll talk a little bit about ourselves and how old our kids are. I am a new again parent. My son Zyler is 1.5 years old. I also have two older boys, a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, Quinner and Whitaker. And I have a couple other parents in the studio with us as well.
Hi, I'm Ursula McDonald. I'm 35 and I have two boys, Desmond and Callan, and they're 4 years old and 2 years old.
And I'm Amy Askin, and I'm the mother of three little girls, Olivia, age 8, Serene, age 3, and a newborn in Louisiana.
Louisiana's with us. And Dr. Zanvliet, how about you?
I have a just-turned 8-year-old, and Joshua, and a 9.5-year-old named Annika.
Nice. Before we get started, let's do some news headlines, looking at parenting topics that have been in the news recently that are noteworthy and worth discussion. And today, we've got an article called Top 5 Weird Celebrity Parenting Tips. And it's 5 tips from celebrities, which kind of range from a little bit offbeat to I actually think that there's a couple that actually are pretty good. I'm not sure why they're considered weird, so let's talk about them. First one is from Alicia Silverstone. And there's a video of her online pre-chewing her baby's food. And I think they're eating a bowl of cereal, and she eats it for about 30 seconds and then gives it to him, feeds him like a bird. She doesn't even like spoon it. She kind of goes over and gives it. I think that one's pretty interesting, and I think that's what kind of inspired this list. Another one is January Jones. She eats placenta pills. After she gave birth to her son in September, she says that she kept up her energy because she had pills made from her own afterbirth. Christina Applegate suggests everyone buy a nose Frida, and that is a way to clear snot out of your kid's nose, but you use your mouth for suction in order to do it. It's not one of the ones with the bulbs. It has mouth for suction, and she highly recommends it. But one of the warnings on the nose Frida is don't ever hook it up to a machine. So I don't know, maybe people were using a vacuum or whatever.
Wow.
Kourtney Kardashian, her tip was that wood is good, and she thinks that plastic boys could be toxic, so she tries to have only wooden toys. That might be when there's something too a little bit. And then Katherine Heigl uses white noise instead of quiet when the baby wants to go to sleep. She doesn't want it quiet. She wants some noise in the background. What do you guys think of that list?
I also saw Kourtney and Kim was... as I'm breastfeeding, I'm laughing because I put it on everything because I was told by a lactation person, you know, lactation specialist at one point, oh, breast milk is absolutely liquid gold. It fixes everything. It's like coconut oil. And I found this to be true. But when the Kardashians find this out and Kim is putting it on her leg and squeezing Kourtney's breast on her leg, I'm like, okay, now the Kardashians know it's not cool anymore, you know? Like, totally uncoolify the breast milk.
But her tip
thing
was good. I think wood toys, I mean there's so many weird things about plastic toys.
Yeah. Melissa and Doug is where it's at, man. Yeah. They have the coolest stuff.
What do you think about pre-chewing food or placenta pills, Dr. Z?
That's a little odd.
This is how they do it in it. Primitive people, they didn't have a blender. They don't have the magic bullet. They don't have anything to make their baby food. They don't come in jars. They don't have refrigerators. So they chew their kids' food. So it's not as weird as you think. Personally, I would rather use a magic bullet. But, I just think it's odd in civilized society where we have a magic bullet and a blender to be doing that. Because I think
Yeah.
Societies who do that, they do it because they don't have the stuff we have.
They might even have like a tool, or like a spoon, like a little hollowed out piece of wood,
The other thing, too, and Dr. Z, you can attest to this, I'm learning about baby-led weaning, and that's a newer thing. I did superfood with my first two, and now baby-led weaning is saying, you know, give them a carrot stick or whatever, and they learn how to gum things and whatever, and get over this. My girlfriend is doing it. This is her second new again, you know. Her son is 8 months old and doesn't have any teeth, but his teeth are breaking 1 or 2 months sooner than his older brothers did. And we think it's like, you know, that's like the nature nurture thing. You know, like, I wonder if it's, you know, nurture, like he's growing teeth because he, you know, Darwinian theory says he needs them. You know, you need this to chew a carrot.
That could be a good transition as we get into the full episode, talk about teething, what it is and what we're talking about. So that's a fun article. Check it out on the website. And if you guys hear any crazy tips from celebrity parents or other parents, let us know because they're fun to talk about.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
All right, it's time to bite into today's topic. Sorry about that. Today's topic is teething, and it's something you know, we've gone through with personally with all three of our kids, but a lot of times we kind of forget just how hard it is on them, and sometimes that might be what is happening in their mouths or what's causing them to be extra fussy. And I know we've tried a few different things, so today we'll talk about, you know, some remedies, kind of what's going on and more with our expert, Dr. Tara Zanvliet. So thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
So let's start, you know, I guess with a basic question. You know, when do babies usually start getting their teeth?
I tell you, this is the number one question about teeth that everybody asks me. And the answer is any time before 18 months.
What are some of the youngest you've heard?
Some of the youngest, they are born with teeth.
Really?
You can be born with teeth. There are two different kinds of neonatal teeth. One are the ones that are still wiggly. They really have no roots. They have to be pulled, because they can choke on them, they can swallow them. Okay. Those are sort of, they're not real baby, you know, baby teeth.
Yeah.
Others, if they're solid in the mouth and they have roots, they just erupted before they were born, and it's not that rare. So babies can be born usually with the bottom two. And another early kind of time would be 2 or 3 months is pretty standard, and the most common time is about 6 months.
So, I mean, mostly, like, when a baby's born, are there, like, I don't know if this is even the right word, but, like, tooth buds that they're starting to form?
If you see an x-ray of a baby, a newborn's face, it is absolutely frightening. Yeah. They have every single tooth, baby tooth, already formed with root and everything. And it looks like, when you see this, like, an x-ray of a newborn's face, full-on face, it looks like this toothy monster coming at you. I mean, they've got every single
all
tooth
the teeth are
all
there.
formed. They're not all calcified, but they are all formed, and they just have to come down when it's appropriate.
I didn't realize that they were
it's
there.
Freaky.
I don't know. I thought that maybe they were just kind of growing, like as they. What is the calcifying?
Kind of
what happens?
Calcifying was when it gets hard. So often that happens somewhat right before they come up. Sometimes a little after they come up, but basically it's a little bit later. But the teeth start forming at about 4 months, 5 months gestation.
Wow.
And then they actually are all pretty much fully done by the time they're born. And then they just have to make their way up.
So when we talk about teething, though, we're talking about the teeth
erupting.
Yeah,
ooh, sounds violent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Quite a descriptive word. So when teeth come in, I know for our kids, a lot of times it's the bottom two and then the top two, or, you know, they kind of have four on top, four on bottom for a little bit, and then the molars. Is that common? Is that the way that teeth come in?
That's the standard way, yeah. The two bottom central incisors, the two top central incisors, then the bottom
lateral incisors and then the top laterals.
Okay.
And then the first molars come in before the cuspids do. That's why you get all these kids with, like, they're missing fang teeth.
Yeah.
That's the standard. A majority of kids come in that way. I will give you a personal story. My daughter did not come in that way. We called her Vampire Baby. She got her bottom two, and you could barely see them. And once they you know, came through the gums, they stopped, and they didn't really come up as full bottom teeth. They just were little tiny white crests. And then her top lateral incisors came in. And I'm telling you, we have like about a month's worth of pictures where she is Vampire Girl. And she was bald, too. So we had these like sun hats on, and she smiled big. She was a big smiler. And she had vampire teeth. And they, you know, clearly, they weren't the vampire because they weren't the canine, like the canine teeth. But literally.
It looked like
it. Definitely. We kids that will get all four bottoms at once, all four top at once, or, you know, four together. Some kids have all eight all at once, pretty much. And within weeks, they've got all eight of their baby teeth all at once. Boom. They tend to be later. The early ones, the ones that are, you know, do it at like 2-3 months old, they tend to just get the bottoms. And then 3 months later, they do the tops. But so there are some weird patterns.
So what are the symptoms? And I mean, obviously teeth are emerging, right? But what are, I guess, the side effects or the symptoms that might happen with teething?
Yeah. You know, the biggest ones are, you know, a little bit of pain, although people will say, oh, it's so painful. It actually is more pressure. I mean, picture this. You've got these teeth coming up under the gums. It's causing pressure from below. So no wonder they want to bite things. If you put pressure from above, it evens out the pressure. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't bother them as much. So you have pain, you have pressure. They start drooling like crazy. I mean, lakes of drool.
Where's the drool come from?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I really looked for the answer to that, and I could not find it. I went to dentists. I went to the ADA. I couldn't find
it. I have a hunch.
Yes.
I was reading somewhere that baby drool had some sort of component in it that helped kill bacteria. So I'm thinking if they're putting things that they're picking up from wherever into their mouth, they need to have a lot of that saliva to help protect them from maybe to wash it out. To maybe give them that little bit of defense from germs.
I love that.
That's your story now.
I think I'm going to do that. I love it. The other really big symptom people will talk about is runny nose, and that's if it's usually the upper teeth, because we share a nerve with the nose, and so they'll rub their nose a lot because it's itchy. Bottom teeth, it'll be ear pain because we share a nerve again with that ear, and they'll pull on their ears, and people will come in saying, oh, my kid's got an ear infection. I'm like, nope, he's teething. Little fevers. Irritable. Gosh, they're just irritable. Imagine itching all the time. We'd be irritable, too. And not sleeping through the night, not wanting to eat. They're just not hungry.
There's so many
things.
And
they mouth everything.
Though. And so when you have a kid, a baby that age, I think it's, on one hand, I think you sometimes hear of sometimes parents or your grandparents, oh, they're teething. Like, oh, that's what it is that you're pointing to. But sometimes it's such a, there's so many symptoms that it's easy to identify, oh, it's because of the teething that this is happening. Yeah. How long do these symptoms usually last for? I mean, is it once the teeth are out that, oh, it's sweet relief and there's no more of these things happening?
It is for a while. Yeah. But, you know, start to finish. Kids are teething for basically 3 years, till they're 3 years old. Wow. They're getting some sort of a tooth. Now, there will be little ebbs and flows. So they'll teeth, and they're horrible for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days a week. And then you'll get a couple of week break. But it can vary. You know, I had two very different teethers as my two children. And, you know, my son got them early at 3 months old. He popped two bottom teeth. My daughter didn't really even start till she was 11 months old. And she got them all at once.
Yeah.
Just boom, poof, like, I don't know, eight of them at once. Almost, not quite. But very, very concentrated. So,
yeah.
Kids were, and I kind of liked that better. It sounds crazy, but I would just rather have the onslaught all at once than just mouthful.
Yeah.
But they were very late, and it all happened within a month and a half, two months.
Exactly. Within a month and a half. Yeah.
I know. I felt lucky. Yeah.
It's one of those,
after
I think,
the things I've heard,
frustrating things about being a parent when you ask, like, well, how long is this going to last, or when is it?
Everybody has a different
every
answer.
Every kid is different.
Right.
But it's the truth, right?
It is very much the truth. And I was lucky enough to have two children who are very different in their development. And so I got to experience it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about the molars? My 2-year-old, I just realized he was waking up again in the middle of the night. I was like, and he's going like this. And so I had been looking for the molars for a long time. And then I finally looked back there and I saw half of the bottom ones starting to peek through. So, you know, I thought it was going to happen sooner. He's about 2.5. Mm-hmm. So is that about right? And what should I be expecting in this new round of teething?
The molars come in later. So the first molars generally come in right around 18 months to 2 years old, somewhere in there. And then the second molars come in between 2 and 2.5. And, you know, again, could be anywhere from 6 months on either side of that. So if he's getting his first molars and he's 2.
It's his second molars.
Second molars, yeah. 2-ish. Mm-hmm. 2.5 is perfect timing. Perfect timing. And it's really just helping him rub because it gets pretty far back there.
Right.
Yeah. And I like the carrot stick idea at that point.
Right. Yeah.
Number one, it's vegetables, which I love. Mm-hmm. Teach him how to. Vegetables are good, honey. Here, they'll help your teeth. And then. You know, you can give them anything cold drinks.
I was gonna say cucumbers. Is a good winner because
my first love the cold and the frozen fruit and the frozen washcloth and all of that. Yeah. This one, he did not like any ice when he was it was almost he's very into
sensitive.
He's very sensitive.
He's
very tactile, and so he just did not like that feeling of cold. Mm-hmm. So But then the other day, he was like, oh, look, I can chew ice, so maybe I'll start. He was chewing ice before I put 2 and 2 together that he's
in the Go-Gurt. I was in the Go-Gurt frozen yogurt tubes.
Slushies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. And so do you think if I do those things during the day, it might relieve some of that pressure for him at night?
It may. Okay. It may help out, yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to resort to Tylenol or something.
But,
if you can do that right before bed even.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Tylenol definitely has helped us out, like, through some of the nights.
And I was going to ask, you know, now we heard that on the news they're talking about how, is it benzocaine? And I had always stood by Anbisol.
The FDA, May of 2011, the FDA said not a good deal. And part of it is because since teething goes on for so long and the benzocaine only lasts for about 10 minutes, people were reapplying this this Orajel and things over and over and over and over and over all day. And the kids got a bad, very dangerous condition where their red blood cells cannot carry oxygen. And they got all blue and some died.
Oh, geez.
And so Orajel is great to use when the teeth are actually breaking the surface of the gums when they're actually poking through, because that's when it actually hurts. And it just numbs it up temporarily while the teeth make that final boost through the gums. And other than that, they're not used when you can't actually feel or see the teeth starting to actually poke through. Don't
use it. So what about those Highlands tablets and like all these homeopathic remedies?
Good stuff.
Like
I think we're going to talk about that in the second half.
Exactly. Oh, let's talk about that in the second half. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more remedies and things like that. Welcome back to Parent Savers. We're talking to Dr. Tara Zanvliet about teething. And in the first segment, we talked a lot about what teething is and what causes it and really thinking about how painful it is and, you know, what's going on with the teeth coming through. And we touched a little bit on some remedies. But let's talk a little bit more about how to deal with teething and how to help your kids feel better and ultimately help you feel better, that they're feeling better. What are some treatments that you recommend?
Well, I always like categorizing, I think... Previously, you knew that too. So for me, there's the biting strategies, the topical application strategies, and then the, you know, take it by mouth and like what I call systemic strategies. So the teething stuff, the things that they can bite on.
Biting strategies. You know,
Let's start there. Cold. Anything cold, anything hard. We'll tie it into that previous thing with the wood toys. Wood toys are awesome.
Yeah. In the freezer, maybe.
In the freezer, exactly. The wet washcloth in the freezer. Wonderful. Any cloth toy you have, anything that can put pressure on the gums that push down from above will counteract the pressure of the teeth coming from below. And so you can use a finger, which is always available as long as it's clean. People love amber beads. They can chew on them, and amber itself has some natural...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I that was surprising to me because my son had a teething necklace, but I heard they were not supposed to chew on it.
They can. They can.
I don't know anything about this. Hold on. Yeah. There's a necklace that you're supposed to wear that you're not supposed to chew on that helps with teething.
Baltic amber. It's called Baltic. It's very specific amber.
Okay.
And they're kind of hard to find because local stores are a little iffy if they want to sell them or not, but you can find them online.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful. And I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about the properties of
the
how
the idea is that they have some property radiates and helps
no,
the teething?
No, it's like, well, I heard that when it wears on your skin, that because amber is actually a resin, it's not a stone, it's petrified tree sap.
Yeah.
And this particular type of amber, when it's worn on the skin, the oils from your skin heat up the oils in the amber, and it goes through your skin, and it gives like kind of the effect of Tylenol, the kind of anti-inflammatory kind of thing going on there.
Property.
Yes, exactly. I can't say that word. So thank you.
And so then you were saying that you had heard Ursula not to eat, to chew
that.
Well,
when you go on these websites, and I'm a researcher, so I went to dozens of them before I ordered, and I don't know if they just said it as like a disclaimer so they don't get sued or what have you, but they said, you know, this is not for them to actually chew on.
Okay.
It's just to wear on their skin. So you can put it around their ankle if you're scared of them like chewing on it or choking on it. And they have like these breakaway clasps. So a lot of times they don't even realize that they have it on. It just feels, you know, like your ears or something. You just part of you. And so you put them on before they're really aware of it.
Yeah.
What I read was that they weren't supposed to chew on it. So I find
it I think it depends on the porousness of the amber. So how much the chewing and saliva and everything will change it and let whatever property of the tree sap essentially come back out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them getting poisoned by whatever tree it was caused by. So I think it depends on the type, how pure it is, how porous it is. So if the product says don't chew on it.
Right.
You know,
But there are types that
would break off and they would swallow it.
That's my concern.
That's the other thing as well, is it's a choking hazard if they're too small.
Yeah.
They have big amber bead necklaces and they're much too big to really, you know, choke on. So, you know, those might be the ones that are of a harder quality sap or maybe, you know, made in a different way. But I think it all depends on what type it is. Yeah.
Well, the ones that I saw definitely had some safety features built into them. They were on a nice string, like I don't know if it was silk or whatever. But and then they were knotted in between each bead.
Yes.
So that if it did, they were designed to break if they needed to. If they caught on something on caught on the crib or whatever, it would break.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't lose all the beads. You just lose the one bead on where it broke. And The ones that I had were pretty small.
Small
I wouldn't imagine that they'd choke on it. They might swallow it.
Well, they can inhale it. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
They can inhale them. Right. Then there's topical stuff. So we already kind of touched on the Orajel benzocaine stuff that technically you just can't use very much of it. And it's really only useful when their teeth are actually poking through the skin because that's when it's the most painful and it's going to work the best. Otherwise, it just numbs up their mouth for 10 minutes and what's kind of the point if it's constantly happening. So the other ones that are very good and don't really have side effects, clove oil is really good. You just take a little, you rub it on. One of the nice things is you're giving pressure with your finger, so it helps there. Clove oil is sort of a little bit of a numbing medicine, so that's nice. You don't want to use a huge amount because if they swallow too much, they'll throw up because it's a little irritating. Fennel is another one. Fennel works the same way. And very calming as well.
You would just take the fennel.
And yep, you just take a little fennel oil or and you just kind of rub it on their gums and it works very similarly. Also, the smell of it is very calming. Real true licorice does also the same thing and is very calming for them. We're not talking the candy. We're not even talking about the candy made from pure licorice. We're talking about an actual licorice stick that they can even chew on, and you can rub it on their gums. Again, don't want to use too much of any of this stuff because they'll just throw it up. Another really neat one is pure vanilla. So vanilla extract.
Yeah.
There's a couple of ways this works. One is the vanilla scent. I mean, anyone who does aromatherapy knows it will calm you down in a heartbeat. So they can fall asleep better. They are happier. They're calmer. You're rubbing it on again, so you're giving that pressure. And the vanilla extract has alcohol in it, which feels cool. And so it has a little cooling. I don't recommend, even though Grandma did it,
right.
Bourbon or
vodka. What happened to the Southern Comfort? Because my grandmother did that. If you had a cough or you were teething, she gave you a shot of Southern Comfort and everything.
Yeah, there's two ways that work. Well, again, it's the same. It's the same thing as
she's a Southern Baptist.
Vanilla. Yeah. It's the same thing as vanilla. You're rubbing the gums. They love that. It's got the alcohol, which feels cool. The problem is you can get your kid drunk. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't take that much. And they did have a kid die of alcohol poisoning.
Because they were rubbing alcohol in their gums?
Yes. And then the child, of course,
yeah,
it was an older child and ended up drinking.
God.
It was the dad. But the child actually got the
So we're
shot
not
glass.
Recommending. So
we're not recommending
that.
A whole no.
Okay.
I mean, I think if you're going to use something pure vanilla, because the vanilla actually has that third effect, which is the calming effect. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of systemic, that's how docs talk.
Yeah.
But in terms of your whole body, what goes through your whole body and may help, anything that calms them down. So the teething tablets work this way. Most of the teething tablets or homeopathic remedies or even herbal remedies, teething, you know, liquids, whatever, will have chamomilla in it, chamomile or pulsatilla. And those two are calming agents. And, you know, the easiest one is an ounce of chamomile tea. No sweetener. Mm-hmm. It works lovely, especially right before bed. They go to sleep. It's fabulous.
Can you, mix that in with the milk, maybe?
You certainly can. They love it.
How much? Did you say a tablespoon?
About an ounce.
Oh, an ounce.
Yeah. I would never do more than about an ounce or two a day. So the one big thing you'll see all over the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, information, do not give your children, you know, well, in Mexico, it's de manzanilla. You know, manzanilla, that's the cure for everything, I'm telling you, for colicos, for colic, for, you know, they got a list of things this works for. And it works because it calms them down. It stops spasms. So it works well for your, you know, tummy spasms, diarrhea, things like that. It stops spasms and it calms them down. But the problem is people would give them 8 ounces, 10 ounces a day, and their salt falls and they lose weight because they're not getting milk. And so that's why if you see these big warnings, no chamomile. It's nothing about the chamomile itself. It's that people give them way too much. And so if you limit to 1 or 2 ounces a day, you're fine. Make those ounces count, but they're great. Either that or the pure extracts, you know, the chamomilla, the pulsatilla, the combinations, herbal combinations work really well, especially for nighttime.
Amy, you'd asked about, was it the tablets before that you were
asking
about?
Yeah, and you alluded to those, that the teething tablets, I didn't find them to work at all.
Oh, I lived with those things. Oh,
everybody
I
says
oh,
that,
goodness.
So it must be me. I don't know.
Maybe we're not using them right because they didn't work for
I
us
know.
Either.
It depends on the kids.
It's different kids and how their teeth come in. Yeah. How their teeth come in. You know, if they come in at nighttime and they're very irritable, those tablets are going to work well. If they're coming in fast and furious, like yours may have, and it's more the local gums that are really bothering them, then the topical ice chewing things are going to work better.
And that's what I found worked for us.
I think they just like the rubbing. I mean, they love the rubbing.
It seems like rubbing really helps.
Yep.
It seems like anything that calms them down, whether or not it's there. And then it seems like frozen things for them to bite them on are kind of like the good tips. And then, you know, we're talking about a lot of natural things. Are there other natural things that you know of or either of you guys know of that might be some good remedies, or did we cover a lot of them?
I think we covered most of
them,
I keep
saying those Go-Gurts, man.
They're
as
great.
As soon as I could go to that, we were all about it.
The
freeze up. I know, like, I call them Go-Gurts, but they're the yogurt. I get the organic Trader Joe's
in a little Otter Pop, but yogurt.
Yeah,
like the Otter Puffs.
And you freeze them.
Exactly. And I always freeze them because that's ice cream in our house.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
it's a good overall tip.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You can make ice cubes. You can make ice cubes out of chamomile tea. You can make ice cubes out of water with a little flavoring, whatever you like.
Especially if you have those mesh bags.
Absolutely.
That really helps too, because you can put them in there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Zanvliet. Thanks, Amy and Ursula, as well. Great conversation about teething. And for our listeners, if they want more information about today's show or to join the conversation, they can go to our Facebook page. Make sure to go to the Parent Savers website to our episode guide, and we'll have a link to Dr. Zanvliet's website as well as a few other teething resources as well. We're actually going to continue the conversation for Parent Savers Club members after we wrap up for some bonus content. So stick around for that if you're one of our Parent Savers Club members. We're going to talk a little bit more about why teeth come in the way that they do. Here is a listener question from Kimberly. She writes, "My son seems to be really sensitive to loud sounds lately. He covers his ears and starts to cry whenever noises elevate. I don't know what to do. My son was born with sepsis, has severe antibiotic treatments, transfusions, meningitis. He is treated and healthy, but was later diagnosed with ADHD. I've only recently noticed the sensitivity to noise. His doctor seems to think it's behavioral, but the pain in his eyes makes me think differently. What can I do?
Hi, Kimberly. It's Amy Goyle from Tadpole Therapy answering your question. With your son's complex medical history, you did the right thing by asking the doctor to evaluate your son's hearing. I'm going to assume you've developed a good relationship with your doctor and that he or she did a thorough evaluation to diagnose that your son's sensitivity to noise has a behavioral root. I'm not a doctor, so it's not my place to dispute their diagnosis, but I can give you a suggestion about how to move on from here. Your question to me is, what can I do? Now, I feel like that's a question that should be aimed right back at your doctor. Go back and ask them to recommend a treatment plan for you. That's what's missing here. There are therapies available to work on behavior. The pain that you see in your son's eyes may be a very real response to loud noises. I'd say it's not a typical response, but he's acting in a way that you don't feel is right. Go back to the doctor and get recommendations to find the right professional. The right person can help your son tolerate loud noises in a way that doesn't overwhelm him so much. While you're waiting to see the doctor or the specialist, if you've gotten that far along, give yourself permission to be a mom and problem solve at home. You've followed your motherly instinct so far. Continue to do that. If you feel like your son needs your help and you have to buy headphones to put on his ears to dampen the loud noises, do it. If you want to work with him on your own and gently introduce noise to him so he gets used to it gradually, go ahead. You won't know what is the right or wrong thing to do until you get guidance from an expert. You're just trying to survive here, and that's fine. Be a mom. If you feel like your son would be better served by a different doctor, get a second opinion and then move forward. He's going to need a team, and that team can be as small as you, a doctor, and a behavioral specialist. But he's going to need a team to help him with his behavior or look for other causes. You've done a great job so far, Kimberly, on using your motherly instincts to look for answers. Keep looking for them. Your son is going to benefit from it.
That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you guys. So if you have any questions for our expert or about any topics, call our hotline, give us a tweet, comment on Facebook, get in touch with us. We love having you guys participate in the show. Gets us some great topics and some great questions to ask our experts. Next week, we'll continue our discussion of topics that new dads and new moms care about. And the topic is going to be baby wearing, which is a really big, you know, kind of emerging, I don't want to say it's a trend, but it's happening so much more these days. Everywhere you go, people are wearing babies. It's almost weird if people aren't wearing babies. You know, we have a baby in studio right now being worn. As a matter of fact. All right, thanks so much for listening, everybody, to this episode of Parent Savers. We'll see you next week. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.